When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
On the live line with us, Wisconsin's minority leader in the state Senate. We haven't had him on for a while. It is Chris Larson. Senator, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Sly. How are you doing?
So I was at the Capitol today.
Were you singing?
I was singing. And I ran into your colleague from West Bend.
Yeah, did you say hi for me?
I didn't say hi for you, but he was somehow smirking. And have you seen this press release that he sent out?
I did. Yeah, I did see that. Was Senator Grossman singing with you?
He was not singing. I don't think he knows the words to those songs.
I'd be interested to see what his singing voice would be like. He might be arrested for a different reason.
He put out this press release saying that he welcomes bipartisanship since Democrats have not restored collective bargaining.
Yeah, it's I think it's interesting that that he's decided to try and pay attention to what the Democrats are up to for once. But he's not paying really close attention. We actually did introduce a budget amendment during the budget debate to repeal that action. So we did move that forward. But what we don't intend to do is trying to be like the Republicans in Congress, where we introduce it every 5 minutes, you know, and require 40 votes on it. I think we're moving on. We definitely believe that there should be fair, equitable negotiations. We don't fear conversations between employers and employees in our state. But, you know, and I think there's going to be a time where we end up going back to a more, you know, peaceful environment where that's something that can happen. But yeah, I think that's interesting. If Glenn Grossman wants to introduce it, that'd be...
Well, when you say you're moving on, what do you mean by when you say you're moving on?
Well, I guess that maybe that's not the best choice of words. I would say that, look, it's something that remains a point in the back of our minds, that's something that we obviously care about. You know, 2 years ago, we were gone for 22 days from a state that we love in order to make sure that folks had time to be heard on the repeal of collective bargaining for public employees. And, you know, we definitely stand with the people of Wisconsin. We stand with the workers of Wisconsin. But I think that there's, you know, we have to be realistic. If we introduce a bill, you know, we're not going to be able to talk Republicans into voting for it.
Sure.
We're not going to be able to get the governor to repeal it. We're trying to be a little bit more realistic than those Republicans in Congress.
Sure.
Who have introduced, you know, trying to repeal Obamacare 40 times while Obama's still the president.
Well, Scott Walker actually talked about expanding Act 10, kind of floated a trial balloon. And here's what he said when he talked about police officers and firefighters.
Now, for those areas, having seen that the world didn't come to an end, for other municipal employees and county employees, there might be a greater opening going forward because they'd say, hey, you know, things worked out.
Things worked out. I took calls for an hour after he said that. And people, some crying. Talking about how they've had to go to food pantries. You know, people, especially people at the lower end of the scale that took 11% pay cuts. There's firefighters that because of they took negotiating rights for insurance away for firefighters, cities like La Crosse putting huge deductibles, which essentially means firefighters don't have insurance. So there's still bad things happening. And I'm just wondering who's going to give these workers any kind of voice or platform, because we don't have... we don't have negotiations on safety anymore. We've had UW employees injured. So this is, it's like the pain hasn't stopped.
Right. Well, I think it's a matter of where you're measuring, Sly. If the measurement is whether Scott Walker is paying attention to the people of Wisconsin, we're never going to have that, right? I mean, the guy was just in South Carolina the other day, I think yesterday, saying that he's given up on the 250,000 jobs promise that he had once made, and just saying, well, you know, we tried, but we're not going to do it anymore. I think it's, if it's measuring based off of his math and what his perception is, this is a guy who hasn't done a public event in this entire year.
Well, actually, he did. He was up in Merrill, where he, and I don't think it was a public event, but he made a statement.
Just to be clear, Sly, his events, they're open to press, donors, and for invited guests. I wouldn't consider that a public event. A public event, I would consider something where folks, the working class, can actually make it, where it's not working hours, and it's something where it's not invite only.
Well, I wasn't disputing the fact that these are public events. I was just going to say that he is now saying that when it comes to his promise on 250,000 jobs, and I'm trying to find the quote here because it's really quite an amazing thing. This came out yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you've seen this. Representative Honnadel, you've got one of the reps in your district retiring. Yep. Let's see if I can find this. He actually made a comment saying that really wasn't a promise to create 250,000 jobs. It wasn't a real number. It was just kind of one of those things that he put out there. And
I love that.
Here is his quote. I'm going to find it for you here. I had it printed out, and I somehow lost all the papers. He actually said, I'll find this here. And by the way, where are we on jobs? How are we doing on the jobs thing?
I don't think we're even a quarter of the way there of what he has set down as a marker. And frankly, these are jobs where it's not taken into consideration, Sly, what the wages actually are, or if these are family-supporting jobs. And it's actually not taking into consideration whether these jobs are going to Wisconsinites, pointing out the mine, which was said to create a ton of jobs, but it's right on the border of Michigan and Minnesota. So a lot of those jobs are going to folks who don't actually live in the state of Wisconsin. So it doesn't take those into consideration, and even if it does, we're not even a quarter of the way there. We're continue to lag the rest of the country in terms of a recovery.
State Senator Chris Larson with us. Here's the quote. My goal wasn't so much to hit a magic number as much as it was, comma, in the 4 years before I took office when I was campaigning, I saw that we lost 133,000 jobs in the state, he said. I said, it's really not about jobs. It's about real people, real jobs like those here, and more importantly, affecting real families across the state. What the hell does that mean?
Well, I think he's a good dodgeball player. I think he's dodging what his primary commitment had been.
So right? You can just run out the clock? Is that a reporter gets one question, he gets to run out the clock?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, unfortunately, you know this, Sly. I don't think he takes questions from you, but his Achilles heel is the follow-up question. Yeah, he can't get a follow-up question because once that's it exposes the fact that there's nothing there. I think, unfortunately, even what he's saying there is a testament to how distant he's become from the people of Wisconsin because the quality of life is diminished. Wages, on average, have gone down in the state. You know, class sizes have gone up for students across the state because he implemented the largest cut to education in our state's history, and then he followed that up with the smallest per pupil increase in state history. So if he's talking about quality of life of the people of Wisconsin, it's been diminished under Walker's recession that he's brought on our state. So even by the new measuring stick that he brought out, it's not cutting it. It's not getting there.
State Senator Chris Larson, he's a Democrat from Milwaukee. He is the minority leader in the state Senate in Wisconsin. Voter ID laws are becoming very popular with Republican legislatures. Obviously, this has not happened in Illinois or Minnesota, our neighbors, because they don't have Republican legislators or governors. But it has here. Here's what Robin Voss said about the voter ID when he was on TV over the weekend.
You know, these election reform bills that have been introduced, I know they're going to be controversial. There's 8 of them that Alberta Darling put forth, but 3 of them specifically deal with potentially discounting votes. An absentee ballot that doesn't have a valid witness signature, mm-hmm. signature would automatically be discounted if there was a vote that was cast that did not have an adjoining poll list signature with it. that would be discounted in a recount. A lot of people are going to, again, accuse the Republican Party of trying to suppress the vote. And what argument can you make to say that's not suppressing the vote to some degree?
Well, it's really not about suppressing the vote. It's about guaranteeing that every single person who's legitimately able to vote has their vote counted. The worst thing to have happen is for votes that were cast fraudulently to be able to actually go through the process. Now, sometimes it's simply poll worker error, and those are the situations we want to make sure we take care of by having better training and ensuring that we have a process that everyone can follow. That's why having a thing as simple as a photo ID is still broadly supported by the vast majority of Wisconsinites as a simple way to make sure that people are able to make sure that their vote is counted and it's counted once.
He's 100% wrong, isn't he?
You got to love the new soft discrimination of this Republican Party of just trying to gently discriminate against people from being able to exercise their right to vote. And I think it's appalling, Sly. I have a couple of friends who were just lucky enough to become American citizens in the last couple months, and they have to take a quiz. They have to take a test to affirm that they know what they need to be good American citizens. They ask a question on there: what is the most important right that American citizens have? And I always thought that would be something that's subjective, but they both explained to me that, no, it's the right to vote, because it's through that right that you're able to obtain any other right that you find important to being an American citizen. So I think it's abhorrent, and I think it's a quiz I would hope that Robin Voss would take, that Scott Walker would take, and that the Republicans who want to discriminate against voters would take, because they are trying to stop people from exercising the most fundamental right to being an American citizen, and doing it under the guise of trying to protect against some ghost of voter fraud that's never materialized and only shows up when they want to get a headline. So
don't we have to highlight the fact that this drawdown provision that Mary Lozick, your colleague from New Berlin, has come up with, this idea that if there's some sort of mistake in the book, so you could have cast your ballot completely legitimately, they could randomly take your ballot out of a stack of votes and throw it out?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, it's horrible, and I think there's not much else I can say, Sly. You know what's really interesting about this, as they continue to push this stuff, there's one senator who actually voted for voter ID last time before the court stepped in and said that this is unconstitutional. Senator Sheila Harsdorf represents the 10th Senate District over on the northwest part of the state. She voted for this, saying, oh, you know, we need to stop this. You know, voting is easy. She actually cast a absentee ballot, and she did it wrong. And the way that they do it, she ended up having a vote tossed out because it was harder, because she didn't sign the ballot before it was sent in. So all this does is what's not discrimination. It's not pulling back discrimination. It's not pulling back, voter fraud. All it's doing is it's stopping legitimate votes from being counted in elections and making it easier for Republicans to win elections, period. That's it. It's a power grab. And unfortunately, Sly, I could say that about just about every piece of legislation Republicans have passed in the last 2.5 years. It's about power. It's about grabbing more power for them and less for the people.
Are you aware that they buried something in the provision that could deeply affect farmers and small business people and people with assets like even Green Bay Packers season tickets or Milwaukee Brewers season tickets? Where,
are you talking about the death tax?
Yeah, the death tax.
Yeah.
Now, did you know they buried that in the budget?
I didn't. No, not at the time that they passed it. But you know what? I did vote against the budget, so it wasn't something that would have changed my mind one way or the other. But yeah, it's pretty bad, the stuff that they laid in there.
I can't imagine that would be popular in a lot of the state with Republicans, would it?
No, I don't. You got to wonder whether they, and this is their mantra as they move some of this legislation forward, that, you know, well, people aren't paying that close attention anyways. We can do what we want. Or, you know, hey, it goes back to what we were just talking about, Sly. Maybe that's why they don't want everybody's vote to count.
Yeah,
if they are paying attention, they're not going to be voting for Republicans.
Is that going to be an issue in the next election?
I think it's starting to become that sleeper issue that's waking up. But there's a lot out there, and I think
I look at the farm. You know, when I drive to work to Monroe every day between Madison and Monroe, there's a lot of family farms.
Yeah.
I mean, this affects all of them.
Yeah, it really hits home at an institution that's fundamental to Wisconsin. It's scary. Family farmers have to be wondering what they're going to do if they're hoping to pass the farm on to the next generation if this provision stands.
Are you satisfied coming up in 2014 that Democrats have any chance of beating Scott Walker?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, frankly, my goal is on making sure that we take the state Senate as a Senate leader. That's my goal. But I do think that there's going to be that whoever comes out of the primary, if there's a primary, will be somebody who can beat Scott Walker just based off of his record and based off of how much he has been divisive to our state. Absolutely. I think everybody's focused on Walker. His reelect numbers are not that good. And once there's an actual candidate to coalesce around, there will be a mirror image response to all the attention that Walker's been getting on the progressive side to coalesce around him and beat him.
You said your job is to win back the state Senate. Obviously, you've recruited a top flight candidate to run against Mike Ellis. Here in southwest Wisconsin, obviously, there's going to be a competitive race. At least we think there's going to be a competitive race. You said that you felt that Dale Schultz was retiring. Do you know that for a fact?
No, I don't. I don't know it for a fact, but I would just reading the cards and looking what Dale's done. And let me lay it out to you. 4 years ago, Dale Schultz gave the same line, said he wasn't sure if he was going to run or not run. He was going to save his decision for the fall. But that same year, in that same six-month period, he raised about $20,000. This time, it was less than $1,000. He also didn't have a primary at that time. This time he does, and his primary opponent has raised over $100,000 already. And lastly, this is a guy who walks around the Capitol as the guy who doesn't plan on sticking around, the guy who thinks he knows this is it. And he's talking to Democrats openly. He's telling Republicans what he thinks honestly, and he's voting that way on issues. When he disagrees, he's speaking up against the Republicans. And they are not big fans of him. The leader before Scott Fitzgerald was Dale Schultz. I don't think there's going to be a lot of love lost or a lot that Fitzgerald is going to... I don't think Fitz is going to bend over backwards trying to keep Dale and talk him into sticking around when he thumbs his nose at him and voted against the budget, voted against the mine, and speaks out against him quite a bit. So I don't think Dale's going to stick around, and I think there's going to be a strong Democrat that's going to come out of southwestern Wisconsin.
Do you
much in the vein of Dale Schultz.
Do you have a name?
Speaks for the people. I think once Dale Schultz makes an announcement, once it becomes clear, there's going to be a candidate there. But there's a few people who are talking about it.
All right. We look forward to talking to you. State Senator Chris Larson, Democrat from Milwaukee, the minority leader in the Wisconsin State Senate. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Sly. That's cool.
Have a great day.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.